going to start with the beginning of a short poem, first half. And it's entitled, Who Are the Wise Men? Who are the wise men in the long ago? Not Herod, fearful lest he lose his throne. Not Pharisees, too proud to claim their own. Not priests and scribes, whose province was to know. Not money changers, running to and fro. But three who travelled, weary and alone, with dauntless faith, because before them shone the star that led them to a manger low. So who were those wise men from long ago? In our reading from Matthew's Gospel, the visitors from the east are described as magi. Magi from the east. And it is thought that they came from an ancient tribe called the Medes, a tribe who invaded Persia at one stage, an invasion which failed. And the Medes settled in Persia and became teachers and instructors, and in fact became so well thought of that the Persian king would turn to them for advice. And they became, therefore, men of holiness and wisdom. They were soothsayers and interpreters of dreams. And in those ancient days, everyone believed in astrology. And people believed that it could foretell the future in the stars. And so the Magi were a mixture of astronomers and astrologers. And while I was writing this, a wicked thought came into my head. I thought, well, that's a mixture, really, of Patrick Moore and Russell Grant. It doesn't conjure up a very good picture of those wise men, does it? And we cannot tell what star the Magi saw, but it was their profession to watch the heavens, and some heavenly brilliance spoke to them of the entry of a king into the world. And some think upon the story of the visit of the wise men as a legend. But there was an air of expectation in the world at that time. And the men and the women of that ancient world were waiting for God, or waiting for signs from him. And these wise men were prepared to experience great hardship to travel to the cradle of a saviour. Now, this is such a familiar and well-known story, but one I feel that still offers us challenges today. Matthew's story of the Magi opens and closes with very key moments of revelation. At the beginning, we are told of the new star that the wise men observed, and at the end, we hear about the dream that warns the Magi not to return to Herod. And the Magi clearly take both the star and the dream very seriously. They follow the star, and they followed the dictates of the dream. And although they were religious outsiders, they are an example of people responding to God's word. They reacted to the signs they received, and as a consequence, they meet the king of the Jews that they had hoped to find. Now, how do we react to signs and revelations that we come across in our lives? We don't necessarily see new stars or have dreams, but he does reveal himself to us in so many ways. God is speaking to us and urging us to follow him, to carry out a task perhaps on his behalf, to journey towards him and his will for us. When I was called to preach, I didn't have a vivid dream. I didn't see a star. I didn't have a fantastic revelation. was probably years of God speaking to me, nudging me, telling me through other people that this is something that perhaps I could do for him. And eventually the nudges got nearer and nearer to each other, and I ran out of excuses. And so I took up the call to preach at a relatively old age. So it's nothing to do with age. You can be called to serve him at any age and at any time in your life. And throughout the ages, stars have been part of religious practices. Used, aren't they, for navigation, and wondered and written about. But this star in Matthew 2 is arguably the most famous star in history and very much part of the Christian story. We needn't think the star literally moved across the sky like a guide, but as our reading poetically puts it, it led them to where the young child lay. The star was shining over Bethlehem, where they found this, well, we don't know, do we? It could have been a stable. They could have by then moved into something else by the time they arrived. But there is a lovely legend which tells how the star, its work of guidance completed, it fell into a well in Bethlehem, and that it's still there and can still be seen sometimes by those whose hearts are pure when they visit Bethlehem. In terms of astrophysics, the star is probably not recognised or important, yet the story of the star conveys something important about God. Those who see it and follow it at that time were visitors from the east, and it guides them to Bethlehem, not to Jerusalem, the more likely place for a royal birth. And we find that God's focus is not always as might be expected. It wasn't expected for them to travel to a humble place like Bethlehem. They expected to go to somewhere much more mighty like Jerusalem. But his focus is not always what we expect. So where is our focus at the beginning of this new year? Is it looking towards God and his will for us, or are we perhaps looking in the wrong direction, in the opposite direction? And there are many myths surrounding the Magi. Most nativity scenes have them planted firmly in the stable. But there is no mention, is there, of the stable in our story. They are routinely depicted as kings and being three in number. Neither of those things are mentioned in our reading. But the biggest surprise is, or should be, that the men are Gentiles. They are unexpected visitors, outsiders. And another challenge to us from this story is, if we have unexpected visitors, outsiders coming into our community, both here in the church and outside, in our lives outside, how good are we at welcoming them? And we come to the gifts. The gifts that those wise men offered must have seemed lavish to that young mother who received them on behalf of her child. But days later, of course, the little family were forced to flee to avoid the wrath of Herod. And perhaps those lavish gifts were very useful, if you think about it, on that journey and for their life as refugees. And we have to think about all the gifts that we have received in our lives, particularly those gifts that we cannot actually see. The gifts and the talents that God has given each one of us. Are we using those gifts wisely? Are we using to be or to do what God wants for us? So I'll end with the second half of the poem, that I began with. Who are the wise men now, when all is told? Not men of science, not the great and strong, not those who wear a kingly diadem, not those whose eager hands pile high the gold, but those amid the tumult and the throng who follow still the Star of Bethlehem. Amen.